Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hello and welcome to the SmackDown review. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by another one, Dummy Boy, Michael Hamlet from What Culture, to review everything that happened on this week's episode of Friday Night SmackDown. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and YouTube, where we do daily wrestling podcasts where we not only review SmackDown, but also Men and Our Row, the show formerly known as NXT 2.0, AEW Dynamite, AEW Collision, pay-per-views, premium live events. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a round of the week complete with a very good quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. As I said, though, joined by Michael Hamlet. And sorry, can you just... Yeah, there's a draft. Another excellent episode of SmackDown, you were saying to me before we came in here.
Was that right? Something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
Paraphrase me there slightly. I don't know, Wilborn, if I've got a case of the Mondays. Because typically when we preview this, I've absolutely got a case of the Fridays.
Oh, yes.
And there's just that like nice buzz in the air. I don't really look forward to the weekends. Sometimes my weekdays are substantially easier. I'm not going to talk about this weekend, for example. But like we typically record it on a Friday morning. Oh.
So anything's possible at that time.
Exactly. There's still so much of Friday to play with. You know, your kids might be nice. So Saturday and Sunday Saturday and Sunday might surprise you. But yeah, ultimately, I understand and appreciate that for most people, there's an employment company, isn't there? Is it Reed that do the love Mondays?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I do, because I'm privileged to work here, right? I love coming in on Mondays. But in the traditional sense, the Garfield sense, I worry I had a case of the Mondays here because we had our conversation over the desks, as we typically do, and we disagreed and debated somewhat the quality of this show. That is to say, I thought it stunk. I really did not like this episode of SmackDown for a variety of reasons, of which we'll get into as the review goes on. And, you know, as long-term listeners will know, I get no pleasure saying that. I want Fed to be like shoot conditional goated for as long as possible. I want to ride this hype train until, to paraphrase our good friend, the wheels fall off. I'm worried that we've lost one or two already, and I'm equally concerned, Raw preview coming later, that those last two wheels will just fly off tonight. I cannot watch 3 hour Raws if we lose too many more guys.
The Punker.
The Punker's a big one.
And Drew.
And Drew's another one. And there's more to come. But I did not like considering Cody as a SmackDown exclusive talent. And I was given that, like, the first run experience of that this week. And if Friday's draft is anything to go by, they have labeled two pieces of television and then made the outcomes virtually pointless, with exceptions that I know you're going to dig into.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know whether I was just in a good mood this weekend because I became a godfather.
Ah,
yes.
Ah, right. This one's discussed over the desk.
Yeah, see, I've kept some surprises in your back pocket. Became a godfather this weekend.
Yeah.
Officially, I mean, the ceremony and all that. And it was doubly goated because I was a godfather. And everyone was fussing over Eric, and he had his little outfit on, his little bow tie.
Very
I'll
nice.
Show you some pictures in a bit. Uncle Adam at the party was responsible for getting the helium balloons down from the ceiling when the kids inevitably let them go. So I was over like Rover in that parish hall.
Yep, fantastic.
And I did a...
When you got them down...
And I did a quiz.
When you got them down...
So
did
the parents loved me as well.
Treat any of the kids to what happens when you inhale helium.
I just told them about it. But I did... I haven't got a clip to show you. I did set up a little funny little skit where All the little Scarlett and Stevie, the girls who got baptized, they were having a great time. They had the helium balloons tied around their arms and just running around. Ah!
I was like, shouldn't laugh at this. They were kicking a, it wasn't a floater. Mm-hmm. We call, I don't know what you'd call that.
Yeah,
like a little football.
Floaters, some people call them flyaways.
Yeah. It was like a mini version of that. It was absolutely harmless. Mm-hmm. And Scarlett was kicking it about. And there was another baby just crawling around on the floor. And the parents were like, we'll have fun with the football. Just be careful for the baby. Kicked it right in the face.
Yeah.
The baby was absolutely fine. Didn't even know.
They always are.
Like, as long as you don't make a fuss, they were fine. Yeah. That was one of the funniest things I've seen. But I also, at one point, took some of the helium balloons, gave them to Eric, who's just at that stage where if you put anything near him, he just grabs it. And chances are it's probably going to go in his mouth. and took him round the corner, so you picture the frame, picture the scene, there's a door frame, and all you can see is Eric sat down on the floor and some helium balloons, and I just went, oh no, what's happened to Eric? And just acted like the helium balloons were making him take off. Killed. Absolutely killed.
I get it, yeah.
So I was just in a good mood, and I thought the draft was fine. Like, I wasn't anticipating huge changes in terms of rosters and what have you.
That's where we differ. I was.
You got to protect you. Like, you got in kayfabe.
You got to protect last Monday's Raw, which kind of stunk. You need to protect that.
In kayfabe, if you don't draft Jey Uso and he wins on Saturday, you've lost your world champion.
Right, now I get this. I get this. I
like Bianca Belair was first as well.
We called that.
Yeah.
We called that, and we called an NXT call-up to see to be revealed.
And I spotted something about NXT that you haven't spotted.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. No, I understand, right? WWE does this to themselves, and that's why it really hurts. Because the draft every year can promise everything and deliver nothing. And the worst thing is that they can get away with it and not even be accused of, like, over-promoting something. They are telling you that the wrestlers are going to go to shows. They're not going to tell you that there's going to be sweeping changes. They're not going to, as we talked about, there's no JC Jane computer anymore.
Ew! Oh, I miss that so much.
John Cena's going to both. Like, it's very much people in an office this year randomly giving an envelope to wrestlers who were instructed, just vamp for a second in front of that door, like that what's in the contents of this envelope is going to change the world. Mm. Like, that was the instruction given to every legend or whatever. The presentation is what it is at this point. I don't know how you fix it. I don't mean to be like sort of a YouTube clickbait guy. How do you fix the draft? Because it's broken. But I think it's broken. I think as a format for a show, it's
broken.
It
just has to be, I think you're right, it just has to be moves, doesn't it? You assume everyone stays where they are except for the moves.
That's it. Like, there's, you're not getting.
And we're apparently getting some big ones tonight on Raw.
And they can sell that. And they can tell you the moves are big, but they still don't have to be, do they?
Mm.
Like, they're not lying to you. It's not Charlotte and promotion if they just say, huge news, CM Punk confirmed as staying on Raw. But yeah, that's technically huge news, but nothing's changed.
Yeah.
Like, I think the draft...
It's less of a shake-up now, isn't it? It's more just, it's the NFL draft, so we might as well do it at the same time.
That's it. The draft implies...
SEO, innit?
Yeah, and it's boring. The draft implies change.
Disagree.
It implies change and doesn't need to deliver any. And I found that like repeatedly frustrating. That's the annoying thing about it. Like, I'm not opposed to this. This won't shock long-term listeners. I'm not opposed to some dumb gimmick getting in the way of the wrestling show and reducing the amount of ring time. Podiums, graphics, bright colors. I'll take it. Right. I don't need much of an excuse for it either. A few legends kicking around with golden envelopes. Let's go. Oh, no. One mid-card match got cut so we can have people stand there and name names. Yes, please. Right. I'm fine with that. But then with every reveal of a name, my brain was going, oh, they're already there.
See, I was going, that's a good strategy from the GMs.
Corey Graves was running out of ways to sell it. Big deal for SmackDown to hold on to whoever.
Yeah.
Like, Raw would be pleased they held on to. You selling me magic beans here, Corey. I know you are.
I was swallowing them whole, apparently.
You were climbing a beanstalk.
So let's get into this, because Corey Graves ran through the draft rules to open the show.
Yeah.
For a split second, I thought the draft was going to be in the ring when they had those tables and stuff. Raw, SmackDown, NXT stars eligible. Four rounds tonight. Six rounds tonight on Raw.
Oh, my God.
Again, great.
Four picks per round. Champions stay where they are, except for the women's tag champs, I believe, can move in potentially. Raw picks first tonight, SmackDown pick first on this show, and they lock the Monday after Backlash, I believe.
That's right.
Then we go backstage. Hey, Kyla! Is there with Paul Heyman. Big news to start. Roman Reigns is withdrawn from eligibility for the 2024 draft, which makes sense because you'd automatically pick the Bloodline straight out of the gate and lose Bianca Belair.
Probably.
And I like the way they handle the Bloodline stuff, which we'll get into in terms of the draft, that is.
Mm.
Paul Heyman said, look, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. It's not a negative, it's a positive. Ran through all of Reigns' accomplishments. Why would he hog the number one draft pick spotlight when he won't be returning in the immediate future? He's knobs out on the island of relevancy. And Heyman said the pressure is now on, I forget what his name is, the SmackDown GM.
Yeah, stay tuned.
Said he was intrigued. Then we go to Jackie Redmond, who's in Orlando at the WWE PC. Huge pop because she's there with all the NXT wrestlers. And she's asking, who's next? But she throws back to SmackDown, and Corey Graves is in the ring for this contract signing. Before that, though, what did you notice? Did you see the thing?
No, I want to know.
So picture the scene. They're in the Performance Center. It's like half the wrestlers are in the ring, half are sort of sitting out in front of the ring, and then you've got the swing around bit with a few friends and family, let's be perfectly honest,
well,
fans.
Maybe
in
some invited fans, yeah. Like, you know, there's that similar crowd each week in the PC, so.
So just talk me through who you saw. You've got people sat on the floor. You can see, you know, like, one of Hank and Tank, I remember, was where sat there, for example. And then in the ring, on the right-hand side, at the front of the seats, you have Ava. She hasn't got a surname. She's The Rock's daughter.
Yep.
And the general manager of NXT.
Of course.
Trick Williams, NXT world champion. And you had the tag team champions, Nathan Fraser.
When I'm cleaning windows.
And Axiom.
No!
Stars, important people.
Champions.
Yeah. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4.
Mm-hmm.
Who are the four sat on the other side?
On where, sorry?
On.
Well, this is it. I'm not going to cheat this, and I didn't look before we came in because I thought I could rewatch this again and go like snooping. I don't want to do this, but I need information from you. I don't know.
Well, you know.
Tell me as you tell the listeners.
The Bloodline are a big faction that were going to be drafted.
Right. Can I infer that it was the family?
It was the goddamn family. Front goddamn row, baby.
So you think tonight is the night?
I don't know. I'm just saying. It was just, they put people in order of priority and they were right there.
Was that, in fact, a booking spoiler? And if it is, if they were lying in the front row with the champions, it means that they're going to win the Heritage Cup in short order.
Oh, my God.
I bloody hope so. Yeah. Maybe that was why I was just straight away in a good mood for this show.
Yeah, maybe.
So, yeah, contract signing, Corey Graves hosting, Cody and AJ come out, they're sat at different tables, the Undisputed WWE Championships there on a nice podium in the middle.
Did look nice, this.
It looks really well.
It looked nice. I'm a big fan of the aesthetics of it.
Style stands up. He wants to point out that two Georgia boys are going to be mixing up for the first time for the biggest prize in the game. Talks about getting his composure back after WrestleMania and earning the right to face Cody. He says he respects Cody. They've been down the same roads. They all both had to prove themselves outside of WWE. Styles mentions Dusty. That's a Dusty chant, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Said he learned a lot from him. Dusty was a good man. He taught him how to carry himself and how to carry the weight of being a champion. And the weight of the title isn't just leather and gold. And at Backlash, can Cody carry that weight? Styles signs the contract and Graves takes the contract over to Cody, who says, Cincinnati, well, you guys want to talk about?
It's ironic. The more you do that, and I definitely think you should keep doing that until it no longer is incomprehensible like dirge. The more your face, ironically, looks like somebody shaking a rubber chicken.
He called Styles the modern day excellence of execution, but all their respect goes by the wayside at Backlash. He talked about Styles implying that he couldn't carry the weight of the championship. Cody said it isn't about winning the title, it's about keeping it. He respects Styles' familiarity with his last name, but at Backlash, it's going to be a level playing field. It's not going to be a dream match for me, said Cody. It's going to be a must win. And Cody signs, the crowd chant for him. Cody sticks out his hand to shake Styles', and before he does so, Styles says, look, it was a great thing to see you finish the story and win the title. It's just a shame your title reign is going to end at Backlash. Shakes hands, Cody picks up his title, raises it, walks out. And then bloody Triple H reluctantly comes out and says, you couldn't help me with the first round of the draft, could you?
God almighty, we'll get to that in a second. I was hot and cold on this. I've put over Triple H's propensity. I think it's my favourite creative thing he does, I think. of finding a link between two opponents on any given night that you kind of, sometimes you see it coming, sometimes you don't, but either way, the way that the wrestlers make it feel convincing is compelling, either for like a one-night build for a TV match or super effective for a long-term story, or even just good for this. This is somewhere in the gooey middle, isn't it? It's neither a long-term story nor a short-term thing.
Yeah.
It's Cody Rhodes' awkward first title defense that everybody knows the result of. Problem is, with Cody, and I don't want them to do this much now that he's actually won the belt, is like the reveal of it being something to do with Dusty Rhodes is a bit like when we know that somebody's perpetrated a whodunit. What's the link going to be? It's Dusty Rhodes. Like that. It's cool, I suppose, that AJ Styles fought Dusty Rhodes in TNA and now he's fighting Cody. And like that, I remember that match happening. I remember Dusty's TNA run. I like Dusty's TNA run. But there are going to be other guys that have fought Dusty. We have heard from countless guys that were trained by Dusty as part of this Cody run. And I accept it's kind of baked in. But I think you need to be a bit more, judicious with how you use it. I think there were, I'm not
worked
even
really well when Roman was like, I was kind of Dusty's guy.
Yeah, like Seth did it, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Like I was one of Dusty, like in that first run, yeah, you beat me at WrestleMania, but I was one of Dusty's kids more than you.
That's what I mean,
if,
sorry,
if
yeah.
anything. Like Punk, it's still a promo of the year. Like I'm more Punk than you are. Well, maybe I'm more American Dream than you are. See you at the Rumble. Like it can be done and super effective at that. This, like maybe it was just as big a shortcut as Bullet Club stuff. That was the illusion, wasn't it? We both had to go find ourselves outside of WWE, whatever it was. So there, maybe that would have been just as, oh yeah, yeah, well done. Like, both led Bullet Club, have you? Congratulations. So maybe nothing would have hit that much because ultimately what you're kind of selling here is a dead rubber. The match can be alive. The result is dead. Cody's winning. Like
they might introduce more Bullet Club stuff on the go home as well with Gallows and Anderson.
Possibly. Is that next week SmackDown's in France, isn't it?
Is it?
Be hot. Like it's the usual Friday,
makes
Saturday
sense, yeah.
I think. Yeah, I think. I could be mistaken there. But they could do that at the last minute, I suppose. The match, I'm not less interested in the match as a result of this. I'm just not more. Seeing them together didn't really give me that kind of parlez-vous français? Frisson that I wanted. And if I'm gonna be really nitpicky, got to be careful with how you couch your 50-50 booking, because I think they thought they were being dead clever, having AJ Styles go out there and be like, yeah, WrestleMania got the better of me, but I showed his ass the next week. It's just a reminder that you basically 50-50 booked LA Knight, AJ Styles. Tread more carefully and a bit more elegantly than you did there. So, fine. This passed with a C for Cody, and his night wasn't going to get much better for me.
I like what they attempted here because...
Oh, we didn't... Triple H. They're now forever together. Like, it's...
He's Booker of the Year.
So. He is a Booker of the Year. He's the Cooker of the Year. He's a chef. Like, he can sniff out a talent with that big nose of his. Like, the game Triple H, since 2022, has given me the Fed I want to feed on.
Yes. Right?
But, God damn it, man. Like, is this 2024 or 2004? Like, I was willing to extend more latitude than most people when after a week he was still coming out and saying like Paul Levesque era, because it was like, man, he did come out and introduce new belts last year, so I guess that's technically an excuse. Like, it is the night after WrestleMania, so people actually maybe want to see it. That's fine. That here was me kind of like coming up with excuses for why Triple H was just being extremely Triple H about everything. But just othering Cody here and like putting him to his side, it's like, what do you think of my new pet Cody? Like, ruffling the hair of the guy that's, like, there. I just don't want to look at it. I don't want this composite Austin. I'm going to go the whole way. I don't want this composite Hogan, Austin, Rock, Cena, Bryan figure to have his hair ruffled by Triple H. Because Cody right now, this is the thing, right? Triple H has got the pencil, pal. Cody already is 10 times the star wrestler Triple H ever was on his best day. In every single category on the Top Trumps card, every single one of them, Cody's got him licked, right? But Triple H is da boss. He's finally in the seat he wants to be in. So he gets to be like, oh, see you smash my throne. Double nothing. Didn't do a great job, did you? Because I'm still sitting in it. Like, I still can't shake that. And then
I think they were just trying to make it seem big time.
The biggest star.
And if you're flicking over from the NFL draft, bloody hell. Triple H and Cody Rhodes are starting this.
That's a very fair point, right? Because I accept that you have to assess that on these terms, because I didn't totally wash with me that, like, the reason Swerve Strickland was boring as sin on Dynamite is because his collision thing is going to be hot. It's like, well, you could do both.
Yes.
Like, you could absolutely, like, you could have him be hot on Dynamite and be exactly, the, get yeah. the lead in on Collision. And I sort of felt like here, it's like, right, you can bring Triple H out, and I get that there's a lead in to think about, but you don't have to, like, do this sort of, I'm cutting your music off. And then Cody has to do that. Well, you got me there, boss.
They let him get the woe in. He's like, whoa, bam. And I was like, he's a real star.
Maybe I'm being a stick in the mud, because I'm sure the fans in attendance, those that love Triple H, like that.
Yeah.
And they get their moment. It's just not for me, Jeff. Like, get back behind the curtain. Stop sticking your nose in front of it.
It's going to be on Raw again tonight.
Of course he is. I think he might cut off Punk tonight, just to double down.
Oh, my God.
Don't give me hope.
Yeah, hey, yeah, we get along these days. Get your skinny fat ass out of here. I got some drafts to do.
So Cody,
guys, don't get injured, am I right?
Cody does the SmackDown picks. Triple H does the Raw ones. Quite rightly, SmackDown picks Bianca Belair straight out of the gate.
Yep.
Main event, Jey Uso goes to Raw.
Yeet, yeet. A sound pick in light of, like, in context, a sound pick.
And I like the fact that SmackDown were like, okay, well, we're going to go a little bit different here.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go Carmelo Hayes, going to go for Melo from NXT, look into the future. And then I was like, oh, that was a bit anticlimactic, because they were like, anyway, on to Seth Rollins. But immediately after that, out comes Carmelo Hayes with a mic. He says, when you talk about who's up next, who's the hottest out, you can't miss him.
Yep.
Melo. Whoop that trick, Chance, and he handles it quite nicely. Like, I've done that. And he says that, I've been listening to you talk, Cody, how if you come at the king, you best not miss. Well, I never miss, and I'm shooting my shot against you tonight. Cody picks up the mic and does the whole, oh, should I face him tonight, guys? Have I even brought my gear? Of course I have, because I'm the best. And that's the main event set for the evening. A good start for Melo, this.
Terrific matchmaking, booking, and presentation of this character. And I tell you what, I haven't watched this show yet, but if those guys deliver in the ring, home run night for Carmelo Hayes.
That's fine.
He is him. He's fine. Is that what him is? Okay, capital H-I-M. It's like, what's that stand for? Well, nothing being the H-I-M. It's bang average.
Then we got our first match of the night. We've seen this one quite a lot. LWO versus Legado del Fantasma, represented by Umberto and Angel for Legado, and Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee, with a big question hanging over everything, of course. Who attacked Dragon Lee?
Carlito.
So like I said, we've seen this a lot. Nice high-flying stuff. Big dives, takes to a break. We come back. Dragon Lee gets the hot tag to Mysterio. Angel comes in. Mysterio hit a sitting senton and a code red for a two. Mysterio countered a lift from Angel into a 619. Dragon Lee comes in, hits Project Dragon, gets the 1-2-3. Post-match, out comes Santos Escobar. And he says, look, I'm a lot of things, but I'm not a liar. And I didn't lie when I said I didn't attack Dragon Lee before WrestleMania. And I think Electra Lopez has been tasked with finding the footage, and she's finally got the security footage, which we see.
Yep.
And you see Carlito, of all people.
What?
Attacking Dragon Lee. I did like the bit where he attacked him, laid him out, left, and then did a pretend war. Oh, bloody hell, what's happened?
He's slipped and fallen.
And then Dragon Lee.
I spat my apple out in shock seeing this.
Dragon, it's the right direction for Carlito. He's far better as a heel.
Yeah.
And I like the fact that he didn't go, guys, I didn't mean to. He just attacked Dragon Lee and then bailed.
Yeah, the return to the scene of the crime was pretty funny.
Yeah.
I did like that. I can't remember the last time. It's been a while since AEW and WWE did similar things, and I preferred the AEW version. It has been a while. But there was a couple of things they could have done with this reveal of security footage, and the fact they chose not to let me down. I wanted them to grasp the low-hanging fruit. I wanted there to be a scared... when they mentioned security footage, I was like, oh my God, they're going to do it this way. Because you know the reveal's coming, obviously. And I wanted there to be like a scared authority figure, a gorilla, or I wanted there to be, we're talking in the office, I wanted like an agent to be in the, like the Chris Hero role of like doing the Surrender Cobra scene, Dragon Lee going, oh Jesus Christ, and just walking away from it because he didn't want to have to deal with it. I thought you could have had a lot of fun parodying something that has generated like tremendous buzz for AEW when not a lot is on that show. And they didn't, and it's fine. Because that wasn't ever the story. I just thought that would have been a nice bit of added flavour to it.
I will say this. I think they probably thought about it. It's a nice idea.
Mm.
I think it would have got no reaction.
Oh, probably.
Half the AEW references, they've dropped Cody reference in the...
Yeah.
The Elite and things like that.
They were the quietest bits of those Punk comeback promos. Yeah, I get it.
It would have been a nice Easter egg, though. I agree.
But it's played out. What do we really think of this? I said I didn't. That like this is a bit like a What Culture title. The disturbing truth behind everything to do with LWO and Legado del Fantasma was pretty much from the moment Santos turned on Ray, it's gone a little bit cold. And now it's not that they haven't set things up. We were encouraged to look forward to this reveal.
Mm-hmm.
Like we take the piss, but I genuinely quite like the bit in the ring where Kalita was kind of like unzipping it, like figuratively unzipping his jacket. Whoop! I'm ready for WrestleMania. What the? Like, yeah. You're taking the piss out of me.
I also liked him in the reveal here. I'm like, let's see the security footage then. Who was it?
Who could it possibly be? Thinking I still might get out of trouble here. Like, so I don't mind the performance of it, and I don't mind the like how it's been rolled out. Do either of us care about the big Carlito payoff match? Who's it even with? Like, who in this LWO?
I like the idea that Ray, a year on from Backlash, is like... Now I'm going to fight you at Backlash.
At this point, like getting turned on by your mates, Ray's posting Sting numbers, isn't he? Like, maybe that's it. Maybe in Sting's retirement, WWE have thought, like, who else is the most wholesome babyface that can constantly have his mates screw him over? It's Rey Mysterio. Mm. So, yeah, fair enough, I guess. That's nice, I suppose, a year on, like, from Carlito. He got the huge pop, didn't he, in the return last year. We've done it again, Will Bond. What's the big match that can come out of this? Carlito versus Bad Bunny. We've got to stop booking Bad Bunny in the payoff matches for these things. Yeah,
well,
from one
double B to another, Bron Breakker.
Good.
Versus
nice.
Cedric Alexander. 16 seconds this went.
Aye.
Cedric Alexander went for that awesome back springboard thing that he does and got speared out of the goddamn air by Bron Breakker, who looked awesome again.
There should have been a thing on the board like there is, and they say nobody go near the Spanish announce table, nobody do use a chair, whatever. There should have been a thing printed out on a piece of A4 saying nobody do backward springboard moves for the rest of the night because A, you won't look as good as this, and B, you won't embarrass yourself on national television.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Before we go any further, though, this show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, we all carry around different stressors. They can be big life worries or just, you know, little things like your favorite wrestler not being used properly. The thing is, when we keep them bottled up, it really can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever is weighing you down. It is really helpful too for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. Therapy basically empowers you to be the best version of yourself. So why not give BetterHelp a try? It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and best of all, suited to your schedule. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/whatculture today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/whatculture. We get a video chronicling what happened with Bayley, Naomi, and Tiffany Stratton. And then the SmackDown GM, I forget what his name is, comes out of his office, gets stopped by Tiff, who says, "Can I have a title match then?" And he says, "About that, you're fighting Naomi tonight, and the winner faces Bayley at Backlash." And I thought, and she said, "Whose stupid idea was that?" And Bayley walks in and said, "Me." And then Stratton said, "Why don't you come and watch ringside later?" And I thought, it's happening.
We thought this would be how it would play out with the eventual result of Backlash. And I like any shred of logic. You knew this was happening, even though, as we pointed out, well, hang on, shouldn't like Tiffany Stratton be fined and suspended? But when you've got a babyface champion, the babyface can open doors, ready for this, as a way to slam them in the face. Ding dong, hello!
Ah.
Bayley wants the match in order to yet again prove her dominance as the best. And like she kind of, she's been a heel now, so it's a different Bayley. She can actually respect Stratton's methods, even though come the match, she's got to put her in a place. So I like that.
Then it was time for round two of the draft. We see Michelle McCool and Tori Wilson coming down to make the announcements. McCool does SmackDown, Tori does Raw. SmackDown picks Randy Orton. Raw gets Bron Breakker.
Oh, my God.
Like, first, what felt like a jump. Wholly illogical. Like,
I like it because it feels a lot more believable that Bron Breakker could win the World Heavyweight Championship in the next 12 months than the WWE Universe or whatever it's bloody called, Undisputed.
Agree.
Baron should have gone with him, though.
SmackDown GMs, like, had a shit with his trousers on, really, there, isn't he? Working 3 months to sign Bron Breakker just to have Buzz and Biz, like, you've not been here that long, have you, mate? Like, there's a draft coming. I'll take him. Thank you very much.
Maybe he'll learn for Jake Cargill tonight, though.
Maybe he will. What if that's a bit of STST? That'd be quite nice.
Short-term storytelling. But, you know, well done. You've picked one of our biggest, fastest rising stars in Bron Breakker. Surprise, we'll take one of yours. Nia Jax comes to SmackDown.
Oh, my God.
I was genuinely buzzed about this.
We often have this happen, right, where, and this is across WWE or AEW coverage, something I've learned this weekend. Apparently, we favour both at the same time.
Both paid shills and haters, yeah.
Indeed. I love, on any podcast review we do, where myself or Sidgwick are like a bit incredulous, but like, what's a year? Like, how did we only get to Cloud 8 and he's found Cloud 9? And then something reveals itself and your face, Mike. We got Nia.
Yes!
Like, that's the... I get it now. I get it. Because not a revelation. We all, I think, had a good feeling that this run was going to go better. And it has. And I welcome, like, more of that. Nia and Bayley is a big-ass match. Let's
go.
Got
a show coming up in England. In Scotland, even, in just a short amount of time.
Who's proven to be the best international heel challenger of late? It's Nia Jax.
And Raw picks Liv Morgan, which makes sense because of
the big Becky stuff, yeah.
We get a video recapping the new bloodline taking out Kevin Owens, and then they show up in their car. Heyman takes his time opening the door, and then immediately apologizes. I'm so sorry. Solo Sikoa comes out, and he's like, where do we get drafted? Heyman's like, you haven't been drafted yet. Sikoa's like, what? Give me all the details. And he's like, whoa, the tribal chief withdrew from the draft. And you know, no one knows what they're getting if they draft the bloodline now. And Tama Tonga, who looks 7 foot tall now, appears. And Solo says, repeat what you just said to me to him. And Heyman's like, oh. But before he can do that, Kevin Owens runs in and attacks Tama Tonga and they brawl off camera.
I think that the bloodline, the new bloodline, the B team, whatever, are going to be the most obvious reveal of bad faith criticism towards WWE's product over the next few months. I think already the people that see Solo Sikoa in a rented tux are going to think lame, rubbish, whatever. I think people that will say read the results or maybe even listen to this podcast or whatever will see the bloodline getting drafted lower down the card. We'll see Paul Heyman having to play spin like... spin doctor for why they haven't been drafted, all that sort of stuff. We'll see this as a demotion and how they're just like in the lofty shadow left by the tribal chief and the final boss. I think if you're watching, you know that's not the case.
Exactly, yeah.
You know that's not the case. I really quite enjoyed the rationale that was presented for why the bloodline weren't drafted. I really enjoyed Paul Heyman's attempt to spin it as a positive and like drill in to Solo Sikoa's like... ostensible lack of focus as the leader.
Yeah.
Like what Heyman is trying to do here is stay on Solo Sikoa's good side while actually be a wise man. And he's not been my favorite bit of this like reorganized bloodline, but I'm really enjoying watching him perform again. Like it's cheesy. It's very 2024 Paul Heyman, but I do feel like there's a method behind the madness. Like I'm liking, he's obviously just scared of them. He's scared of getting beat up because it appears as if they're like, we're a violence first organization now. It's not about Roman coming out and speaking for 20 minutes and holding back the dogs until he says so. We're just bloodying people. That's kind of like, your method's failed, so we're going to do it this way. And you're thinking, oh, are they acting on behalf of The Rock? Like, have the elders gone above Roman's head?
Mm-hmm.
Like, is Roman swinging his dick around the island in the relevant seat, or has he just been cast off to one side? Mm-hmm. Are all his WhatsApps been left on unread? Like, what you don't know about Roman Reigns at the moment is kind of the most captivating thing about all of this. Heyman is juggling that too. He's like, what if I'm inadvertently disobeying the orders of Roman Reigns by kowtowing to Solo and Tama Tonga? So I'll say to them, maybe need to settle down and you might have been drafted. What did you just say to me?
It's great.
Nothing. It's good, if anything.
I'm so scared. Every moment they're on camera, I'm scared.
It's not bad stuff, this.
And there's a really predictable thing coming at Backlash, and I love it as well.
There's a longer story to be told. There's a lot of, like, they're going to have to rack up wins. Like, they're going to have to rack up wins, or they're going to have to beat people down so bad they're disqualified. They're going to have to raise the... I still think SmackDown GM, can't remember his name, is going to suffer something very bad at the hands of these two, because I think this is where that prior power struggle is going to... Like, Roman Reigns would have him in the office and they'd kind of snarl at each other. But he was like, the whole deal was, I could have killed, mate. Like, but he wasn't doing it because he's a smarter leader than that. Has Solo got the discipline? I don't think he does. I think one of these weeks...
You're going to get a tits title match with Cody, right? But Cody out of it as well.
Probably, yeah.
Remember the last time when someone challenged someone from the Bloodline on UK soil? I showed up. Well, we're going to kill you.
Yeah. Like, it takes, like, Roman Reigns thought the only thing he needed to beat Cody Rhodes was one finger in the air, whereas I know it's one thumb in the throat. Like, there's loads of stuff where he can like, other Roman Reigns as the reason, like, he couldn't get it done or whatever. I don't mind this at all. And I just think, patience is important, because Tama Tonga's in-ring is going to tell us a lot about how effective this is going to be. I'm still in. And I think people would be wary to throw the baby out with the bathwater here and just assume these guys to be, like, inveterate losers now that the proper stars have gone.
Another match that's been added to Backlash is the women's tag titles. Bianca Belair's brought out by Kayla Braxton to talk about it. Team with Jade Cargill against the Kabuki Warriors, talked about her history with Damage Control. Jade Cargill's the perfect person to help her deal with them. And they're not going to have a reason to show up on SmackDown after they win the women's, after Bianca and Jade win the tag titles at Backlash. Asuka and Kairi Sane come out. Then Jade Cargill comes out to a huge reaction. They get into it, and then Owens and Tama Tonga just brawl through them. They get into the ring. Owens starting getting the better of Tama Tonga, but Sokoa runs out. Numbers game, as always, for the Bloodline. Tama also and Solo just beat up some security people who try and get involved. But then Randy Orton's music hits. He makes the save for Kevin Owens, tries to RKO Sokoa, but Sokoa just gets out of it. And there's a hug between Owens and Orton. And just to get ahead of ourselves, they've booked that match for Backlash as well. Tama and Solo versus Randy, Kevin Owens, and probably Jacob Fatu is going to show up, and I'm going to blow my little tits off.
Probably there, yeah. It's quick. They're getting to the match quicker than I thought, but I think there was there not a story about Jacob Fatu was a possible for this SmackDown,
yeah.
And then that got shelved for whatever reason. So yeah, it's a big shock for the pay-per-view. The pay-per-view probably needs it. The PLE, excuse me, probably needs it, because at the moment, it's predominantly extremely predictable title matches.
Mm-hmm. Like, as we saw at Elimination Chamber, predictable isn't always bad.
No, no.
And I'll be watching it with beaucoup de bonbons, probably on Sunday or something.
That French bit, lots of sweets.
Lots of sweets.
You wanted to watch it on Sunday?
Like, no, I don't know what we're doing, because I've got spa days. I come and have the airs to make up enough for WrestleMania, so.
Oh,
probably on dad duties, but we'll see.
I've got a midweek birthday, so on Saturday I've got a new family birthday.
I love this. Ugh, got to spend time with family because of my birthday.
I know. Like, I like them. Like, I like all my family. I love the Fed, and it's been there longer than some of them. And like, and it's there.
Wake up tomorrow to Monday Night Raw.
And look,
the best present you can get.
Discussed this before. Never covered, unless I've done the trig wrong. I don't think we've covered Raw and NXT certainly in a way we do now but it's never fallen that way because it's on a Tuesday and you only get that, is it 6 years, something to leap year?
I never know.
Forget the maths work. I refuse to learn. so that is exciting for me. But I like putting in weekend time on a Saturday. Normally, not so bad. Let the kids have a late night. Bit of an easier bedtime, typically, if they've stayed up a little bit later. Not when it's clashing with Backlash.
My best birthday present you give me is leave me alone and let me watch Backlash.
I don't get this up on your Google machine. I think Backlash 2000 was my birthday, April 30th. I don't know for definite.
Backlash 2000 starts at 6 p.m. on Saturday.
Excellent.
April 30th, correct.
I knew it was. It was hot as balls, man. It was Rock and Hunter when they realised they could get a singles match out of Backlash and just keep the belt on Hunter at WrestleMania. And then Steve Austin comes out at the end and he's had a neck injury, so he's been out ages and he's beating everybody up with a chair. And Gerald Briscoe looks like he's been killed dead with one. I was like, oh my God, it's my birthday. Thanks, WWE. Oh, it's great. So yeah, I'll sure be having a lovely meal and I'll have to watch some of Backlash. Watch French for Delay.
Delay. Delay. English to French is like a regular thing. Retard.
Un petit retard.
On Backlash 2000, there was a tag team match, TNA, Albert and Tess, versus the two men came out to do the next pick of the draft.
That's two segues we couldn't have planned on. I tell you what, it's why we're the number two wrestling podcast behind the Dare Man.
Yeah, Bubba Ray and Devon, they put their glasses on. Yeah, can't read the thing. They're like, eh? The ninth pick of the draft going to SmackDown, staying on SmackDown, is L.A. Knight.
Yeah.
And then 10th pick of the draft, I mentioned this to you before, spoilers a little bit, everyone, because I don't think this goes out until Wednesday. Raw got themselves a champion, the newest champion. The WWE Speed Champion, Ricochet.
God damn it.
I said there were some big moves.
That's what I'm saying. You said there were some big moves.
Champions on.
Where are you going to deliver them? The Speed, Ricochet is a Speed Champion.
He's going to win it on Wednesday, spoilers.
Sorry, guys. Is there a belt?
I assume so.
Oh, I'm into that. I want to see the new Speed belt.
What does it look like?
What's that look like?
Does it make a noise when you put it on?
You're trying to put it on, but it keeps running away.
The Bloodline finally move in the 11th pick of the draft. SmackDown, go, I'll take him.
Did you get the reference there, by the way?
What's that?
11, they're the ones. Nice touch, I thought.
And Sheamus goes to Raw, or stays on Raw.
everyone goes where they already live.
Yes. It's not as bad as that year, then they just announced them. They're like, here's the names that are going to be drafted, and they released it in the order that it got drafted.
Oh, God, that was so awkward, wasn't it?
What have you done?
I think I know the next five.
Then it was Naomi versus Tiffany Stratton and to see who faces Bayley at Beglish. Bayley's on commentary. Fun back and forth early on. Naomi goes up top. Stratton moves, drapes Naomi over the second rope and hits a hip attack. Naomi comes back, though. Modified pile driver and a split takedown on the floor. That takes us to break. We come back with Stratton getting a two count off a spine buster. Naomi grabs a head scissors driver and gets a near fall as well. They both get swinging face plants for the double knockdown. And then out of nowhere, chaos arrives on SmackDown. Nia Jax shows up and she attacks Bayley at ringside. Naomi tries to help and is like, out of the way, you. She attacks her. DQ. And Tiffany's just like, well, this is great. And to finish it all off after Nia Jax has finished destroying people, Stratton hits the prettiest moonsault ever on both Naomi and Bayley. It's a triple threat for Backlash. Just what I wanted.
Match kind of ruled.
Yeah.
I was critical of Naomi and Bayley for... They didn't have the crowd. They didn't lose them on last week's match, and they've never got them. And it was a bit sluggish and treacly and all that sort of stuff. This was not that. We've talked a lot about how Tiffany Stratton can goo, but I think there's been valid criticisms of Naomi's work. Like, if she still can, what does she offer in-ring if you are attempting to raise the bar? And they should be. They always should be. And, like, question was kind of answered in that sequence on the floor with the splits and everything.
Yeah.
Like, everything that kind of led in. It was like led into an ad break. And what was frustrating is that you had that like Michael Cole voice in your head about SmackDown rolling on, and you were just waiting to see what spot would take them there, but the spots were getting better and better. Yeah. I don't want to go to a break. I want some more of this, please. Energy was fantastic for it. Fans were way more into this. And I don't just want to lay credit at the feet of Tiffany Stratton here, because like I did feel like I was watching Naomi have that type of performance that you kind of want out of her more than you get sometimes. We are probably more patient towards it than A lot of other reviewers might be, but I still like a schmoz finish in the right context, and I liked the context. I like watching Nia Jax cause mayhem. They have to be a bit careful because they do this more in the women's division than anywhere else. I think they think it's valid too. I think it's that same thing with critical. Like, you need to understand the ladies' night criticism of AEW, the constant, like we're on WWE's case a lot, I think, for the women's booking because most of it's atrocious. It's not just lack of representation. It's not just lack of deeper stories that the divisions don't get. It's stuff like just assuming that fans will be fine with, I'll just give them a DQ every week. It's like you've got to hold them in the same reverence, otherwise none of this works. Like Bianca and Jade at Backlash have to win the tag belts.
I agree.
You can't have them, you can't like half-arse it. You can't have them beat like Damage Control, that they run away and it's a count-out win. Because yes, they've dominated and they've won. But it's like, like the Damage Control can just do that every single champion's advantage.
Yeah.
No, you've got to be, you were telling us and showing us that you were the best, so be the best. And I feel like of late, the finishes, SmackDown division's better than the Raw one, but the finishes make me think they still think they can kind of get away with it more with the booking of the women's. And it's not good enough.
Byron Saxon's chatting to the Street Profits, who are challenging for the tag titles this Friday, against A-Tay and Dan Ander. Austin Theory and Grayson Waller show up and are bellends and then get scared by Bobby Lashley.
I think this match will be just fine.
It's going to be great.
A-Town Down Under will win it. Yes. Again, I'm sure it is in France ahead of Backlash, and the crowd presumably will be hot for everything, as WWE always is when it goes international. So I look forward to that, if nothing else.
And also we saw Karrion Kross in the final testament beating the crap out of Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne. They're going to face each other on SmackDown next week as well.
Yeah, you thought you were up to your nuts in Mega Glove. Now you've got them across two brands. Lucky us.
Why aren't you just staying on NXT?
Well, this is it, isn't it? We thought they're safe over there.
Yeah. Then it was the final round of the draft. It was Teddy Long and JBL doing it. AJ Styles stays on SmackDown, which makes sense. Raw picks.
Explain that to me then. So, Jey Uso.
Yes.
Number one draft pick for Monday Night Raw on the proviso that he might become world heavyweight champion. Mm-hmm. You want the potential world champion.
I think the SmackDown GMs are rather confident than entertaining.
I think a little too confident. In terms of the narrative fiction, and AJ didn't like even flag it up as a, sorry, I think you've made an error there. It's like, yep, checks out for old AJ.
I like the fact that AJ got picked after LA Knight. It's going to piss him off even more. Uh-huh. That's why he's going to bring in the Gallows and Anderson lads.
Respect.
Yeah.
All right.
Some damn goddamn respect. Alpha Academy, if they're still a thing.
Yeah.
They are for now. He just bollocks them. Mm-hmm. Chad Gable, Otis Tozawa. It's not one person. And Maxime Dupri.
Oui, oui. I'm coming in France.
Andrade moves to SmackDown.
Yeah. He's kind of been a floating character across both, so it doesn't feel like a big move, but I suppose it is. He's moving away from Dom, I guess. Or is he? Judgment Day in the pool tonight.
But no Damian Priest or Rhea Ripley, so you're just getting Dom and JD McDonough and Finn Balor.
Yeah.
And then JBL announces that Big Business is coming to the main roster, and it's probably going to work before
Money.
Kiana James drafted from NXT.
Huge pep for one of our own.
Yes, lovely to see one of our children making the move. Indeed. Again.
Called it, did we not?
Yeah. Jackie Redmond chats to her. She's got a Raw hat on already. being drafted means the world to her. She's ready to show Raw why she is the 1%. Shawn Michaels congratulates her, says something in her ear. And we get a nice video package.
It is weird. There's a good and bad version of everything to steal a Sidgwickism. And it is weird that the wrestlers, I thought this was lovely. The wrestlers do not know, do they? It's a shoot, brother. Like, they don't know that they're getting the call. Like, obviously, whatever Sean is saying is like, I need to get a message to you right now.
Look happy.
Yeah, like, so we're going to have to get a message to you now because I've just found out this myself. Whatever, I don't know. But, like, the wrestlers clearly don't know. That creates something lovely like this, where Kiana James is clearly thrilled. Like, let's put this in normal terms. This is an enormous work promotion. Enormous. And she stands to, like, become an even bigger star within the industry that she's chosen. And there's a bunch of her friends and supporters, some of which is just written on their faces that they're really happy for their friends. So all of that is lovely. That's the good side of this. The bad side of this is that it's kind of weird that their very real lives are playing out on television in this way. And the shade of not getting that call is like a bunch of disappointed wrestlers. Nose back to the grindstone, I suppose. And it's odd, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's both this, because it is lovely to see what is clearly an authentic reaction. Mm-hmm. And years down the line, it's like Kiana James's main event in WrestleMania, WWE are buzzing, because here she is in a raw cap. I was going to say looking like a cheerleader, but like there'd probably be literal characters in NXT that could perform that role.
Brinley Reese,
indeed. Like the backflip she would do if she got called up to Raw, right? But yeah, the business character goes by the wayside, doesn't it, for a second, because somebody just buzzes at their real life's going in a tremendous direction. So good and bad to this. Lovely, though.
And it doesn't lock in until the Raw after Backlash, of course. Mm. So we'll talk a little bit more about this on NXT later on this week. But arguably that kind of, you know, there's a lot of baggage that comes with Kiana James, sometimes with a brick in it. But now...
clears the way, doesn't it?
Potentially clears the way for those bloody kids to get it together.
I think Fallon Henley is going to be talking to nobody in particular in the locker room, as there's four other women lined up in a straight line, and she's going to be, man, there were always just so many barriers in the way to the things I wanted in life.
So she's going to get really angry when I bring this up tomorrow, isn't he?
Well, the problem is you're going to have those four women because it's always in that locker room and it's always the same shot. And then there's going to be a locker shaking in the background. It's like, Brooks, get the hell out of here again. And he's...
He couldn't find what he wanted in the car park because it wasn't there. So maybe it was in the locker.
Trying different rooms.
NXT preview and review every Tuesday and Wednesday. And some people say the best podcast we do.
Yeah, not still alive and kicking, isn't it? But you miss it. You miss out.
Mm. Nice video for Trick Williams winning the NXT championship.
Mm-hmm.
Kayla also interviews the SmackDown GM, forget what his name is. He says he feels good about his draft selection and announces the triple threat for the WWE Women's Championship and Owens Norton versus Sokoa and Tonga at Backlash. Next week, we're also getting Cody and AJ, New Catch Republic AOP, Street Profits versus A-Town Denander for the tag team titles and the RKO show. There's my bullet point for Friday. Sorted, man.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's main event time, Cody Rhodes versus Carmelo Hayes. Nice sort of platform immediately out the gate for Mello. I know he's been on the main roster before, but Cody's...
This is different gravy.
Great chance of Cody as we start. Drop down punch from him. Hayes comes back with the springboard takedown. Cody hits him with a clothesline and we go to a break. When we come back, Cody backdrops as Hayes, but Hayes comes back with a facebuster and a springboard fadeaway DDT for a two count. Cody hits a disaster kick, but it can only get two. They trade blows whilst on their knees. Cody lifts up Hayes and hits a running power slam for another two. And a Cody cutter gets a near fall as well. Then out of nowhere, Hayes comes back and hits the first 48. That code breaker of his goes up. It goes up to the top rope. But Cody moves, hits a super kick. They both go for springboard moves and miss.
A bad idea, badly executed, ultimately.
It looked like it hurt Cody as well for a split second.
I don't think there was a version of this that could have been any good. But if you consider that in terms of somebody springboarding backwards off the ropes, the best version ever to date, and probably the best version there will ever be, took place on a pay-per-view like just short of 9 days ago. Best don't attempt it, lads. Mm. There wasn't a version of this.
Who did that on Spring Break, indeed? I've forgotten.
Very nice. You're a good broadcast professional. I just, like, if a version of this goes well, what, hit heads?
Yeah.
Nice one, guys. Nice one, guys. It just fell off. It derailed a match that wasn't even that hot. But I think you saw some fans go, ugh. And then it took a while for the comeback round for the finish.
And he pretty much just then hit the crossroads and got the 1-2-3. Stare down with AJ Styles to close out the show.
Sorry, guys. Like, a fine match, and that's probably not enough. I will not do this, but I actually won't sanction other people doing this. I will not sanction other people after like a month, maybe not 2 months, maybe not three, maybe four is when I will be like, right, now we can start having a conversation about how well or poorly the Cody Rhodes title reign is going. I will not sanction conversation on the quality of Cody's title reign while we are still in April.
Mm.
Nor May, nor June, nor July. I think, like, it's harder to keep it than it
after is. After SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Harder to keep it than it is to win it. You need time to assess it. I think AEW has been a big victim of this sort of criticism in the past, some of which I've probably been guilty of. And it's, I think, like, when a build is so long and impressive, it is then hard to... maintain that feeling, that glow. And AJ Styles, I think, is good and bad for all the reasons we've discussed.
Yeah.
It's kind of perfect in one role and not in another. This match, however, was fundamentally, there wasn't much of a stop. Cody's the veteran, was the only loose narrative thread here. This was a moves match.
Melo's going to eventually be in the world title picture, but just not yet.
Not yet. Carmelo is. He's got plenty of moves. Good, he's got a few himself. But I found it impossible to feel much for any of them other than knowing that Cody was going to get the win. And then they attempted a spot that made them both look silly. And I was like, I think this booking and matchmaking was a failure. In fact, I don't know if there was a... Maybe this delivered everything WWE could have wanted. And your point about, like, they will one day reference this. Melo has stepped up and, like, stepped up and showed out, perhaps.
They're all going to say on my first night, and I'm going to go, well, technically,
can I
done a few matches before that, but okay.
Can I offer a counter for this match with another match that was the same principal idea executed substantially better in people in very similar roles? Adam Cole versus Daniel Bryan from the SmackDown when everybody was stranded in Saudi Arabia. An NXT guy getting that big moment against the established, effectively world champion figure with or without the belt. And like, we were talking about that match for weeks. Like, and Adam Cole had like, he looked like a mummy. He had that many bandages on him by that point. He was working so much and it didn't matter. It's like, this is the stuff. This is, I'm seeing the present and the future collide. I just didn't get that. I didn't get those vibes at all. And Cody would have wanted it to feel bigger, I feel. I don't wish to like sort of cast, like sort of say that I know what the man thinks and feels, but I just imagine that he would have thought, that's a big night for me, this as well. Like, I'm going to give this guy this elevated stage. And I don't know that he did.
That's fair.
Yeah, it wasn't strong stuff, this.
Well, let us know your thoughts on SmackDown on X at WhatCultureWWE. Watch there. You can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at...
Michael Hamflett.
Follow me at Adam Wilman. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. As I said, make sure you subscribe to WhatCulture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcast from, for daily wrestling podcasts, Collision Review, and the Raw Preview coming a little bit later on today. But for now, this has been the SmackDown Review featuring Night 1 of the WWE Draft. Major backlash developments. Cody Rhodes versus Carmelo Hayes, Nia Jax causing chaos, and Dragon Lee's attacker being revealed.
The SmackDown Review. It's got all this, and hopefully soon, so much more.
We'll see you soon.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stephens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.